Our text for this evening is Psalm 84, verse 3. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow her nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Beloved congregation, Psalm 84 is a psalm that sings of the longing for God's house, the temple where the altar is, or the altars are, to use the plural in our text, where the lamb in the Old Testament was being consumed on the altar. It's no wonder that this psalm has been so dear to many throughout the ages, and that so much comfort has been drawn from this very psalm. Psalm 84 is kind of a psalm like Psalm 42, also a psalm of longing for God and for his house, as pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. Or you can think of Psalm 27 that we looked at just a little while ago. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. A psalm like Psalm 63, expressing the longing of the psalmist for not merely the house of God, but for God himself above everything else. Every time again, there is this psalmist longing or expressing his longing for God and the communion with God, and who has found in his life, I can't live apart from it. It's fitting also with respect to baptism this evening that we listen to Psalm 84, a psalm that speaks about the joy, the blessedness of those who may enter the assembly of the believers in God's house. Some of the commentators have suggested that even though it's not one of the Psalms 120 through 134, Psalms of Ascent, that Psalm 84 also was really intended as a Psalm of Ascent to be sung at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, when they would travel from north and south, and they would walk towards Jerusalem. And then when they would come to that last top, they would go over the mountain slopes, and there, right on top of all the mountains, was Jerusalem, the city of God, standing out in magnificent beauty. And when they caught that very sight, there would be in their heart that ardent desire to be there, to behold the beauty, the glory of God. My thirsty soul longs earnestly, we sing with one of the Psalter selections of this psalm, yea, fains thy holy courts to see. And then there in the Old Testament already, they would sing and celebrate in song the glory of the house of God, especially including the words of our text, the sparrow finds a house to rest. The swallow deftly builds her nest and broods her young hard by thine altar. What we are given here is a lovely picture, congregation, of who the Lord is for his people. Let's take a close look at our text. Under our first point, the picture. The picture. Our theme is really God's house. Nest. Those two words are there in our text. God's house, nest. And first of all, then, the picture. Beneath thy care, the swallow. Beneath thy care, the sparrow, it says, finds a place for peaceful rest to keep her young in safety. The swallow finds a nest. We often see all kinds of birds flying, fluttering about. Isn't it true that when you see the birds out in nature, maybe even more so in spring, but even now, they are always so busy in the daytime. And as I suggested already, in springtime, we often see them building their nests where they can be safe and where they can lay their eggs and brood their young and where they are young can also be safe, so that when they leave the nest, once the young are there to find food for the young, they know they're safe while they are looking for food for them. And a bird, I understand, has such a fine instinct to look for such a quiet and such a peaceful place for nesting. That's what the psalmist sings about, in a sense. The sparrow finds a house to rest. The swallow deftly builds her nest. Isn't it remarkable that in our text, these two birds are mentioned, sparrow and swallow. Let's take a look at these birds for a moment, and let's first look at the latter, at the swallow. The swallow is so graceful in flying. It's effortless. Twisting and turning in search of food is a delight to watch. Perhaps you know that of old, people have had a high regard for the swallow. A swallow loves to build its nest right at the house or at the barn of people. It seems preferably close to people. It is as if the swallows love to entrust their young right to the homes of people. I have known farmers who at night, when they would go out to shut the door of their barn, would first look if they could shut the door for the night by looking to see if the swallow was in its nest. And if the swallow wasn't yet in its nest, then the farmer or the owner would walk back home and he would say, "I'll go just a little later." Of old, there has also been kind of a superstition that if a swallow builds a nest at your house or in your barn, then you can expect luck for your house. That superstition, the Bible does not teach any of it. And not only that it doesn't teach it, it speaks against any kind of superstition. It goes back, you might think, it would go back to the old Roman belief. And the older Romans, they held the nests of swallows to be sacred. Sacred. It's only evidence of how people have in the history tended to think highly of a swallow. And in history, people would not easily move or remove the nest of a swallow out of regard for the swallow, thinking that that nest is sacred. We have to leave it alone. But the picture is this, congregation, that the swallow often has been considered to be, as it were, belonging to your home and family, a housemate, if you like, having the right of hospitality. That much about the swallow. Now the sparrow. What can we say about a sparrow? Perhaps we can only say a sparrow is only a sparrow. In general, people tend to have a somewhat negative feeling towards sparrows. They are the least significant birds. They patter around and pick away at whatever food they can find, and then they flutter to the next spot. A swallow is a beautiful bird. A sparrow is only a nuisance, some people say. This is how somebody put it. Poor, miserable little creatures fluttering around. Somebody else said, noisy, aggressive, peevish. A sparrow, we don't think of it as a housemate. More a migrant. Now, we don't know for sure whether in our text the Hebrew really is referring to a sparrow. Because the Hebrew word here is actually the word for a small bird. Hardly worth attention. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 10 verse 29, when he said that even when it concerns a sparrow, one sparrow shall not fall to the ground without your Father, Jesus said. Now back to our text, the sparrow and the swallow. Let's read the text again. Yea, which means even. Yea, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself. And now notice, thirdly, congregation, under our first point, we have looked at the swallow, briefly at the sparrow. Now look at the priority mentioned here. Our text is not in first instance about the swallow, but about the sparrow, regarded as most insignificant, least noticed, scruffiest bird of all, you might think. But our text is in first instance about the sparrow, that little bird, that just fluttering round and looking for something to eat, otherwise it would die. And it looks in our text as if the psalmist is speaking here about the sparrow as a man or a woman or a boy or a girl who feels unwanted, unloved, and considers himself also to be not worth anything, worthless. But tonight in our psalm, that man in the sparrow, that woman, that boy, that girl steps forward and he says, I am worthy of something too. I also have the right of belonging to the household of God. For he says, I know from the Bible that it is written in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, I will turn my hand to the little ones. I may have a place too at the temple, in the tabernacle, at thy altars. That's the beginning of our text, congregation. Yea, the sparrow has found a house. Not only the swallow, even the sparrow, the bird that many people have negative feelings towards. The sparrow may take refuge to the house of the Lord, right at the altars there. And if it were not in the Bible, congregation, we might not even dare to say anything like this. But our text says it. Yea, even the sparrow has found a house. Even the sparrow. What is that? That's the sovereignty of God's mercy, of his great mercy, not only for swallows, but first of all, for sparrows. And then we may say with the Lord, there is no difference between a sparrow and a swallow. Because that's how we read it in Romans chapter 2, don't we, chapter 3, verse 22, that with the Lord there is no difference. God does not look at the outward appearance. He looks upon the heart. Maybe somebody thinks here, all right, I'm hearing what the psalmist is saying. Both find a nest, a house, at the altars of God. The highly regarded swallow and the more common sparrow, considered by many worthless. The bird that is a kind of a housemaid, the swallow, and the migrant bird that has no rights. But it turns out they both may. But if that's the case, should the psalmist not have said it differently? Should the psalmist not have put it the other way around? Should he not have said in verse 4, the swallow finds a nest with thee, and even the sparrow finds a little place too? That's maybe how we would be inclined to put it, congregation. First, consider the swallow, the beautiful bird. the housemaid. And then the sparrow. First, the swallow has a right to protection and has been given confidence in the Lord, if you may then consider that spiritually, a wide entrance into the grace of God. And once we have said that, then let's take the next step and say, now look how merciful God is, even for the sparrows, who is so insignificant. But congregation, regardless of what you and I may think, this is the word of God, and this is how God puts it by one of the psalmists and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he puts it like this: yea, the sparrow has found a house. At the altars of God, the sparrow is given priority. Thus the Lord turns his hand upon the little ones. The sparrow has priority at the altars of God. And if there is anyone here tonight who says, oh, this is too great even for me, then I may take you by the hand and say, come in, my brother. Come along, my sister. Come in, young people. How worthless you may sometimes think yourself to be. Come in, yea, the sparrow has found a house. And I repeat with the Lord, there is no difference. If there is a difference with the Lord, then the sparrow is given priority to the swallow. Why? Because the Lord cares most of all and the best for those who can the least do without his mercy, his care. That's the principle of our text. And as in this way we meditate this night, congregation, on the secret of God's grace, then we say it tonight, the secret of his grace is that his grace runs so entirely differently than we might have thought or might have expected. It breaks through the barriers that we have put up. God is sovereign in his grace, and he makes room for the sparrow, first of all, and secondly, for the swallow. Now that brings us to our second point. Now we are leaving the picture, as it were, and we'll look at the place. Yea, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself. Our text speaks then, secondly, of a nest. And I wonder, boys and girls, if you can think with me for a little moment about the nest of a little birdie. Maybe you have looked into a nest where a bird had been sitting, maybe in the spring, and your dad or mom said, in this nest there is a little mother birdie, and she has been laying some eggs. Can I see? And daddy lifts you up, and you can look right into the nest when the mother bird is away. And there you see one little egg, or two little eggs, or three little eggs. I remember that that nest looked like such a beautiful place, such a soft place. What is a bird without a nest? What is a bird without a refuge? Because a nest means safety, security. It's a home. A bird without a nest is a fugitive. Must fly around all the time and finds no soul for its feet. Maybe you remember when Noah was in the ark and the water had been going down. And Noah thought, I can maybe let one bird go out. And he sent out a raven, remember? And then one day he took a dove and he let the dove go forth from the ark. And the dove was flying away, but a little later the dove came back because the dove could not find a place for the soul of its foot, a resting place. Now that's the very thought here in our text. We sinners have no place of rest apart from the grace of God. And how great is the blessing of God to show us these very things, congregation, to discover these things. And what a blessing it would be if all of us would truly discover that tonight, or discover it again, that there is no rest for us in the things of this world. That with all the things that you might ever have in this world, there is no place where you can put your little feet. Because this life, we heard it tonight in the form of baptism in the prayer, this life is nothing but a continuing death. But there is a place of rest. There is a place where the weary and the sinful soul may find refuge. And where it can be safe, safe with God and with His Christ. It's a place where the bird can hide underneath the care of God and be safe from the storms, from the restlessness in this world, and doesn't need to keep on wandering and being unsettled. Have you ever noticed and looked at a swallow's nest, how solid a nest that is? I used to have one right by my study door in the house when we lived in Abbotsford, British Columbia. Year after year, the first years we lived there. Such a sturdy place. Rain or storm, that nest would be there, and it was safe. But have you ever looked at the nest of a sparrow? Made of loose grasses, weeds, and some bark. And it seems that it will get simply blown away by the first gust of wind. But notice then in our text it says, yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest. How remarkable, congregation. That means the sparrow receives what it needs the most, and is promised the most. Mind you, the swallow doesn't suffer any want either. Is given a nest, but the sparrow is given rank, a house. Yes, Jesus said it in the Gospels, he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And don't we see in the Scriptures, congregation, that God grants admittance and entry, especially to those who lack liberty? Yes, the focus is not on the birds here, but is on the riches of God's grace here, the all-surpassing riches of God's grace. Because if we would only focus on the sparrow and on the swallow, then we would focus still on man. But it is the grace of God that is extolled here, and both of them need the very same thing, which the text then explains further on, even thine altars. So a place, a house, a nest, but right at thine altars. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. Do you see this, congregation? The picture is this, that a sparrow and a swallow, they may find a place in the tabernacle of God, or the temple of God, in the house of God, where there are the ordinances of God, the altar. Just think, children, that the sparrow and the swallow may have a place right at the altars where the priests would do their work. moving around, doing their sacred work. And they see even those birds, they don't chase them away. Here the holy ministry of God and of His grace is taking place. And above all, not only the priest allows these birds, but the Lord allows these birds to find a place, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts. How can it be, congregation? What is really this a picture of? Well, in the Old Testament there was a burnt offering altar. And that pictured that there would be a lamb, an animal, that would be burned on that altar. And that was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, if you would consider the words of Psalm 102, verse 7, He became as a lonely sparrow on the housetop. And He had to lament during His public ministry on earth, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where He can lay His head." Jesus wandered around as a homeless man on this earth. He took what sparrows and swallows deserve. And on the cross He cried out, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But on the basis of His blood and His righteousness, He invites in the gospel and He says, "Come to me. I give you a place. There is a place by me," as you read in Exodus chapter 33, verse 21. "And they may all come," congregation, "the sparrows and the swallows, and find a house right at the altars of God." And the altar is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He came to die for the sins of His people who are as sparrows and as swallows. He bore the wrath of God on the altar for the sins of His people. He was forsaken that there might be a place for sparrows and swallows in the house of the Lord at the altar, at the cross. And isn't that where we love to dwell, congregation? At the cross. And when there is the Lord's Supper celebration, what is it a picture of the cross? "My body broken, my blood shed." And what is baptism other than a picture of the water as a picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus, and also of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, to make room in the hearts for His work of grace and to show us our need of that work of Christ on the burnt offering altar. But notice that our text speaks, "Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars." How many altars were there in the temple? Boys and girls, do you know how many altars there were? There was one burnt offering altar in the outer court, was there not? Or were there more? There was another altar, but it was not in the outer court. Where was it? It was in the holy place, was it not? The altar of incense. When the priest would take coals from the burnt offering altar and put it in the holy place on the altar of incense, and then sprinkle incense on it, and then the smoke would rise as a fragrant smell to God. That on the basis of the burnt offering, the prayer would go up to God. And God would be pleased to hear the prayer of the priest. And that's a picture, is it not? That the Lord Jesus Christ not only died on Calvary, but on the basis of Calvary has ascended into heaven. And there is presenting the prayers. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Now think of that congregation. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest. Even at thine altars, the burnt offering, but also in the prayers of Jesus. And then the thought, parents who were here this night with your baby, the thought, because the psalm expresses it, does it not? Even the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest. To do what? To lay her young heart by thine altars. That's what you must do. That's what you must do. God has given these children to you. And in addition to the little babies, many other children. Take these children to the house of God. Here. Here. Every Sunday. Twice. Take them along. And teach your children what the house of God here is all about. The burnt offering altar. Tell them that's where you should have died forever, like Daddy too. But Daddy, by dying, could not save you. But God sent another as a burnt offering, His Son. And He is now in heaven, and on the basis of His sacrifice, He ever lives to make intercession for you. Parents, God has given to you perhaps the greatest blessing in life. Under conversion, children in marriage is the greatest blessing of God, isn't it? I know sometimes you think, oh, what did we get ourselves into? It's the greatest blessing. But it gives the greatest duty. The greatest duty. To take your young to God. At home too. Take your time. To teach them. To teach them about the sparrow. And the swallow. And the altars. And that however far we and our children have fallen into sin, there is room, at the altar for anyone that cometh unto Him. That's your duty. And you will find that God honors His own promise. Seek Him much and teach your children much. And it goes for all of us, congregation. Goes for grandparents. Bring your grandchildren, your children too, your great grandchildren to the house of God. And be busy for your children till the very last day. It never stops here. You can never say they're on their own now, can't be bothered. Bring your children to the Lord. And when you see them go off into the world, bring them to God in prayer. He ever hears. If you but plead His mercies, His promises. You have a solemn duty. If you come short in your duty, who does not come short? But God will require of you what you have done with your young. But with Him is abundance of grace. And you will not be put to shame. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, bless thy word to our hearts. Such familiar words. Grant that we may carry them back to our homes and in life. And that we may know what it is one day in thy house of praise with our children is better than 1,000 days spent elsewhere. And though only we may sit here and have a place at the altar and see that burnt offering and that offering of incense, and that it is not our prayers, and that it is not our upbringing, but it is all of thine, O Lord. O grant that we may sense the burden of it, but also the privilege, and visit us as a congregation with grace for young and old. Visit us, O God, so that the things we have been taught from our early days on may not be blown away by the things of this world, but that it may be bound upon our hearts. Thy grace, thy promise, thy duty, but that there is hope even for the sparrow. And who of us is more than a sparrow? O Lord, we are sinners deserving to be cast out from thy presence. Oh, that even in thy sacrament of holy baptism, thou dost show that we may come in because thou hast gone out of the house of the Lord. And outside the city, that holy city, nailed to the tree, cursed, cast out, that we and our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren might be carried in, not only to the baptismal font, but be brought to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to have, O blessed Savior, grant us and our children a place in thy prayer of intercession. We plead it all of thine, and thou hast said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Grant thy grace and spirit to these parents and to all of us, and dismiss us, we beg, under thy hands of blessing. Help us in all the work that is before us, at school tomorrow, at home, at the office, wherever thou hast given us a place for our daily food and drink to be provided by our work, and grant also thy blessing at the seminary. Bless the teachers with grace from on high, and grant that those who have been given great responsibilities may be given double grace. And do thou make them a blessing, also the students, our students, other students, international students. Bless our small federation of churches. Bless Reverend Pronk and Reverend Scholes as they will be leaving tomorrow for New Zealand to attend an international conference for our churches of Reformed churches. Grant them safety. Bless them and make them a blessing. Bless Pastor Schumann, having received a call and considering a call, light and truth, his way attending, make thy way before him plain, we pray. And bless the work in Guatemala and the ministry of word and deed. Come over and help, and of compassion in the name of Christ for so many others. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And make thou us, O Lord, we pray, ready to meet thee in Jesus' name. Amen.